Blog Talk Radio.
Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on. Talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on. From the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day. College football, we know who's number one. Understand, on the phones, you know we get it done. So call in 718-664-9098 and we'll give you more. Talking sports, yes we do. Talking sports, it's for you. Ray and Tay, and we spit it every day. And we're talking sports, give us a call, okay?
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. We are not suspended either. So you're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tom Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and it is a manic Monday, tons of sports, lots of fun in this crazy serious world. Let us please make you smile and entertain you. So give us a call, 718-664-9098, like always, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. If you want to give us your top five point guards or whether you thought Draymond should have been suspended or not or anything in the sports world, check out rayandtaytoday.com. We are social, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, iTunes, and YouTube, lots of fun. We're going to stick with Draymond, then we'll go a little bit off the field with, you know, Preakness and golf, tennis, some other stuff, NFL, and then we'll get back to the basketball. Ray, honestly, this is what should have happened because you need to see it on the court, play ball. 25,000, a flagrant two, maybe they should have done that the other night. No suspension. And do you think it needed to take to 7:21 p.m. Eastern to announce this?
Well, they don't play till tomorrow, so it's not that big a deal, whether it's at, you know, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, or 7 o'clock. But it's a difficult issue. You know, we trivialize it, but it's a difficult issue. You know, on the one hand, had he been kicked out of the game, it would have been much easier because then you would have said, all right, he served his time. Now,
right.
The NBA really, really didn't want to suspend him. You can't suspend a guy. You know, think about what the TV, the corporate sponsors, everybody, the non-basketball people would just flip out.
But just for the fans alone, Ray, and for history, this is an all-time battle, and it needs to be played on the court. Now, let me ask you this. Two games in a row, first time it was a knee, and then this time a little kick. Could you see where Adams or Westbrook or OKC could say, nah, this dude is doing it on purpose?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, it's one thing if you're boxing out and you're hip checking and you hit somebody in the, you know, in the ribs, in the shoulder, even in the head. You know, they definitely try to protect the head, but twice in the man region, that doesn't happen. Think about if you play ball before, think about how many times you got hit in the man region. It happens, but it's very infrequent.
I've never kicked anybody in the man region, so
if
I know.
If it was more frequent, the guys would wear cups like they do in baseball, you know what I mean?
Right.
So twice is too much of a coincidence. So I'm not sure what's going on there. But I'm just glad that now, because of the flagrant two, he's going to be very weary. And I don't want Draymond to not play his game. I just don't want him to kick people in the man region.
Yeah, no,
so
no, no. Hopefully this is all behind us.
I mean, of course, they're going to put the mic in Russell Westbrook's, you know, in front of Russell Westbrook, because he said, oh, absolutely he should be suspended. And Stephen Adams thought so, too. And look, Stephen Adams gets under your skin, no doubt. But there's ways to deal with him that don't involve kicking him in the private. So I just hope that this series continues to be exciting. And remember what I told you. I said there are going to be some blowouts in this series. It's going to be a seven-game series, but with blowouts.
You were right on point with that, and I'm looking pretty good with my OKC and six pick if it continues. Let's get to that in a minute. We'll get to the basketball and stuff. A lot of other stuff going around in the sports world. You got Rory going back home, winning and leading, you know, he said it was the greatest feeling and the amount of pressure that he's ever felt. Leading, I think he was, what, up 4 or 5 shots going into the final round to win, you know, back home. And was it the Irish Open or the Scottish Open? I'm not sure which, what the Open was, but he won. And then here in the States, your boy Garcia, Sergio, gets back to winning. Pretty impressive to see that again, huh?
Yeah, he's not done. I mean, he probably still has some good tournaments left in him. He's probably one of these guys that you just forgot about with
all
these new studs, you know, these new 22, 23, you know, the Justin Spieths of the world, the Rory McIlroys of the world, the Jason Days of the world. Don't sleep. You know, Ricky Fowler can still play, and your boy Bubba Watson's 36, 37. He can still play, and Sergio can still play.
No, definitely. I mean, look, a lot of stuff going around. We got the French Open starting, the Indy 500s this weekend. That great story, the guy, the one pole position was the guy that almost died this time last year for the Indy. What's his name, Hutchison or something? I mean, that's big time right there. I mean, to get the pole position, Indy 500 should be fun. Look. We got to talk about it. I was tweeting with Shannon Sharp on Twitter. Outside the Lines comes out with the report about the NFL kind of totally dropping the ball and covering up stuff with concussions and not wanting to spend, what, $16 million to get the proper research and the proper stuff done. And when these guys are going to be making $18 billion a year and each owner is making over $240 or $30 or $50 million, you know, this past season, a team, there's no excuse, Ray, for, you know, if this report is on point and, you know, you got Congress involved, that, you know, they are holding back information or not doing what they need to do to, you know, help the science. We got a problem here. And this is your come to Jesus moment where you got to look yourself in the face as 32 owners and be like, guys, we got to do right by our players. And this affects peewee, high school, youth, college. It affects everybody. We love the NFL. You're the best game out there. But you got to do better. Period. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You got to do better.
Not only do you have to do better, but if you don't watch out, your game is going to lose the talent at the junior high school level, college level, and all of these stars, these would-be stars, are going to go to other sports. And parents are not going to let their kids play football. So you need to get out in front of this and say it's a contact sport, it's a dangerous sport, but we're doing every single thing we can to protect from the youth football all the way to the professionals. Because looking the other way, you know, give them some smelling salts, slap them on the butt, and say, let's go. That's in the 60s and 70s. That doesn't work anymore. So they really do need to get in front of this. And all these ex-players, you know, it feels like they're coming together, but their voices aren't being heard loud enough. But here's an interesting thing, though. Josh Cribbs was on Outside the Lines, and they had a couple other people, and he said after 10 years in the NFL, very smart guy, articulate, he said, you know, I have these problems, I have that, physical problems and mental problems and this and that. I don't know that I'd let my kids, you know, right now my kid plays flag football. I'm really dreading the moment that he has to play tackle football. My wife doesn't want them to play. He said, after having said all of that, I would protect my kids. He said, but I'd go back.
Oh.
Knowing what I know now, I hope somebody gives me a call. I hope I get back in the league. So,
yeah. Listen, anybody that's played would play again, majority of the guys, even through the pain and suffering. It's probably like in a 90%. It changes your life forever if you do financially, but also it's, you know, you're fulfilling a dream. I mean, look, you and I didn't play, and I'm sure we'd both sign up to play. Now, you wouldn't want to have, any brain damage per se. But, you know, you could take off my pinky toe. Like, I'd play for a lot of stuff.
Ronnie Lott style, you'd give up one of your fingers?
I mean, listen, man. Come on. You get to a certain age, you're like, hey, I can pick up my kid with four fingers. I mean, it's very hard. You know, you can joke about it, but we spoke to Wesley Walker. We spoke to Burgess Owens, you know, different players that have been on our show. And you just, you know, every guy, and that's the thing that's so fascinating. Every player has a different story and a different level of health, of brain functioning, of concussions, of non-concussions. So there's no exact answer because everybody's experience is different. And you got to accept that. You know what I mean? You can't put a blanket when there's so many different positions on the field and so many different, you know, situations. So it is what it is. But NFL, they got to do better. Let's keep it moving. The Preakness, I had the win and the show. So I had Exaggerator and Nyquist instead of Cherry Wine in second. I had more spirit. So I could have won some big money there, Ray. You know, Tay may need to go to the horse track out in Belmont. What'd you think about the race? And were you surprised at how Nyquist, you know, because Nyquist kind of was jumping out a little early. And there were some questions if, you know, the jockey should have had him, you know, be so aggressive so early. What'd you think about that?
So it was in the slop. And
yeah,
that always throws a little monkey wrench into, you know, your trainer, your horse. You don't know how they're going to react, the jockey. What was interesting to me was that Nyquist and Exaggerator had gone at it four times before, and Nyquist came out on top. So Nyquist 4-0 against Exaggerator.
Yeah.
And now Exaggerator won, and they'll have a rematch in 3 weeks at Belmont at the longest track. So
yeah,
we'll see. I mean, it looks like these two horses are, I mean, the ones to beat. Obviously, you know, you don't know exactly who's showing up in New York. I think later this week they're gonna lock down the number of horses. But, you know, we got used to the Triple Crown last year, but what was it, 36, 37 years? We hadn't had one. So it's hard. It's hard to win three on these three tracks, which are totally different, total different lengths, and also 2 weeks between the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, and then 3 weeks. So you need to be on your game, and it's not easy. So,
oh, and some luck, right? One misstep for a horse, and they could be done, you know?
Right, and which gate you're running out of, and how you get out, and the weather conditions. There's a lot of things that go into this.
Yeah, so we'll see how it plays out. It should be fascinating. Hey, you know, we'd like to talk about a little stuff. I don't know what you thought about the Billboard Awards last night. If you saw it, the big hype, obviously the Madonna, Stevie Wonder tribute for Prince left me a little like, eh. But it was more emotional because, you know, Madonna and Prince, they were friends, dated for a hot second, did some music together. And only she, Prince and Michael, can relate to being super 80s pop icons. And Madonna stands alone with the two of them gone, and you could throw Whitney in there too. But you know what I mean? I thought it was a very emotional, the Nothing Compares to You, Into the Purple Rain. I love Kesha doing Bob Dylan, Ray, mainly because all her legal stuff, the doctor, whoever, and Sony Dr. Luke, and they don't want her to do her stuff. Like, this is what Prince was about, right? Everybody getting their own masters, controlling your music. And I thought it was sort of simpatico, right? That it all kind of on the night where they're honoring Prince and Kesha gets to do that. What do you think about Britney? You know, right. I'm happy for Britney, but I think she's kind of, I don't know. It's done. I think the best performance of the night to me.
She was trying.
No,
she
I know. But
skimpy outfits, and she was trying to rejuvenate her career.
But didn't it feel desperate, though? It felt desperate.
It did, a little bit.
I'm like, okay, Britt, you're mama too, and you're, you know, kind of unstable and whatever.
Right,
but
that's the problem. You can't disremember when
yeah.
you saw her, you know, all busted when she was a new mom, you know.
Oh, I mean, even just recently she was in the news with different things. So
that's true.
But I'll say this. For
Go
me,
ahead.
performance of the night, Rihanna stole the show. That song, that ballad, showing her singing chops, just standing at the mic, her little get up, her just the style song. I never heard it because I haven't heard her new album, and I probably should have. That was. I want to buy it. And so if I can hear one song and you're going to make me buy your stuff, you knocked it out the park, Rihanna. So congrats to her for that. I liked it.
All right. Well, I was only disappointed in, or the main thing I was disappointed in, I felt like the production value was lacking. So just
the
whole show.
But it is Billboard. It's not the Grammys. It's the Billboard.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? That's music. I mean, that's music should bring a lot of energy, and I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where when it's done right, you say, wow, that was a good show. And when it's not, you can't really put your finger on it. You don't know exactly what it was, but something was missing. But let's
totally
transition
right
back to sports. Let's talk about what we're here to talk about.
It's time for the hoops, Ray. And, you know, we'll start with OKC because that was on last night. We'll get to the East in a second. So Draymond's playing. Good. What is Golden State going to do on the court? Because Klay's not doing it. Andre Iguodala's not doing it. Maybe they need to start with a small lineup from jump so at least Andre can try to stick Durant. The whooping that OKC put on them last night was ferocious, horrendous, intense, and this is why I picked OKC in six, because I honestly believe that the Adams-Cantor combo is maybe, you know, a top five center. I really believe that Ibaka...
But they play Serge at center too,
well,
so they give you a completely different look.
Exactly, that if Serge gives you anything, it's a bonus. He's hitting threes, but it's Waiters, and then you're getting four of your five starters in double figures when your boy Robinson is dropping 13. Look, it's just very impressive, and Waiters scoring off the bench. This team is, like you always say, athletic, but they've got two of the top, I don't even want to say five anymore, two of the top four best players in the league. And to me, they're showing it. You asked me on Friday who I had for game three. I said, OKC. And you said, who do I have for game four? And I said, we'll talk about it on Monday. And after watching that, I think it plays out. OKC will take care of game four. Golden State will win game five. Golden State will win game five. And OKC finishes them. Steps on the champ's neck at home. Six games, like I predicted. There's something, you know how you just feel it. There's something in the air. It's changing. It's changing. And if Curry is not special, they're not going to win tomorrow night.
Wow. See, I read the tea leaves a little bit differently. If Golden State wins this game, no harm, no foul, right? If Golden State is able to win game four, they have home court advantage. They just have to win two out of the next three, and they have those games at home. Right, they have two out of the next three at home, so they just need to win two, either both home games or one and one. So in that respect, they can still salvage this series tomorrow. In order to do that, they didn't win 73 games for no reason, right? And I was the biggest naysayer. I said, oh, they're going to have the championship hangover. Oh, they can't continue 24-0, whatever they started out. Oh, they play in the West. Oh, they got to travel a lot. You know what? I had all the excuses in the book for them, and they kept doing it and doing it and doing it well. So, to me, Steve Kerr, and I liked what he did. He didn't call timeouts. He just was like, you know what? We're just going to take it. We're just getting whooped. We're going to take it, and we're going to come back in 2 days, and we're going to come back on fire and take care of business. So I actually think they'll take care of business in the next game. They have a very resilient team. They haven't been under stress, you know, during the regular season. They never lost two in a row. But remember, even in last year's playoffs, when they, of course, we kept We knocked them a little bit because they played everybody without a point guard, right?
2-1 Memphis.
They were down 2-1 to Memphis, and they were down 2-1 to the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
So in two series, they were down 2-1, which is, you know, something. It's significant. So I wouldn't be so quick to write off these Golden State Warriors. I do believe also, just as the good Oklahoma City Thunder came out, the bad Oklahoma City Thunder can come out. That team that is horribly inconsistent, that team that plays 30 to 35 minutes and not 48 minutes, and that team that jacks up threes and doesn't shoot a high percentage and somehow finds a way to have terrible fourth quarter and lose the game. So I'm hoping, as a basketball fan, that they turn the corner, but too many times we've seen this Thunder team beat themselves. So I think the Golden State Warriors take care of business and tie this up tomorrow night, and I think they do it pretty easily. So they're not going to win by 30 in Oklahoma City.
Do you know what Russell did the other night? Did you see the 30, 12, and 8?
Yeah, he was ridiculous. And by the way, he had like 6 and 7, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, you know, midway through the first half. So he could have, you know, racked up a lot more stats. But
I'm just saying,
you know what? When they're on,
yeah,
these two are you're scared. You're scared to play them.
It's up to Russell. Russell has to decide, I'm going to get my guys involved. I can score whenever. I've got to take over to win this game. It's Russell, because if he wants to play that defense and if he wants to distribute and then get his, it's going to be hard for Golden State, Ray. He's the key to watch.
Well,
it's going to be hard.
You're 100% right, but there have been many, many times where he hasn't done that, and he's always been the top, you know, five talent in the NBA, and even Durant, you know, his first couple games weren't great. So I have a feeling Golden State is going to get a second life because Draymond Green was not suspended, and they can still stretch the floor. They still have the best shooter in the game. They have the best shooting backcourt in the game. And you hit a couple shots, you get up to a 10, 15-point lead, and then Oklahoma City starts to panic a little bit. So I like Golden State in game 4.
I'm not mad at you. Now, the best thing about Jurassic Park, the T-Dot, and the Raptors, you know, holding it down to win game 3 is potentially this 4-5 game series that everyone predicted. If Valanciunas actually, he's a game time decision. If he actually plays tonight, he might come off the bench. But if he plays and Kyrie and Kevin Love don't play well again, they have a shot to make it at least six-game series. I don't see that happening. We all love what Bismack Biyombo did. I mean, come on, that was a sense of Olajuwon, 26 rebounds. It was absurd, impressive, anything that you want to say. But at the end of the day, when Cleveland gets back to Channing Frye and Love, spread the court, hit the threes, let Kyrie and LeBron penetrate, put LeBron in the post up, maybe throw Kevin Love in the post early on to get him some positive touches. If they do that and they're hitting close to 35 to 40% of their threes, they're going to beat Toronto. I was happy to see DeRozan and Lowry do their thing. Look, DeRozan is a top five shooting guard. We said it, and, you know, he played really well. But I think tonight the Cinderella slipper gets taken back. I think Cleveland takes care of Toronto, goes back to Cleveland, and they win this series in 5, right?
Yeah, I can't. There's nothing I can disagree with you about. I thought this would be either a 4 or 5 game series. The one thing I will say, which doesn't bode well for Toronto, is that superstars very rarely stink up the joint 2 games in a row. And Love and Irving stunk it up. So they will bounce back, and they'll be fine, if not, you know, really good. And LeBron has just been consistently the level below spectacular. So he's been consistently excellent. So I just think it's too much posse, and Valanciunas would help, but I think ultimately this is a game of stars, and LeBron James is the star of stars, Kyrie Irving's a star, Love's a star, and the stars are going to be shining tonight, and then they're just going to take the series in five.
The best story is that Dante Jones got suspended for a game, and his fine is $80 because it's prorated from your salary. And LeBron's like, hey, I got that. So LeBron James is paying his, one game suspension and an $80 fine. So, kudos to LeBron. Real quick, before we get to this top five, did you hear some of these little smoke somewhere down in South Beach of some rumors of if the Cavs win, LeBron could return to play with his boy, D. Wade? You hear Stephen Smith is talking about this. Yeah, man. Listen, crazier things have happened. Listen, because they're brothers and because they love each other and want to play together. I have no clue. Maybe Bosh, I don't know. I'm just saying.
They did that already. Been there, done that. I will say one thing to LeBron's credit. If he goes out and wins a championship,
he can do whatever he wants.
He can leave Cleveland, meaning, they'd be upset, but they're not going to burn his jersey in effigy. I mean, they haven't won since the 60s, since the Browns in the 60s. So, you know what? He will always be the prodigal son, and he can leave. But why, though? I don't understand going back to Miami. I mean, maybe get a new challenge, but don't go back
to
Miami.
I'll tell you this, Ray.
That'd be disappointing to me.
This is going to be, mark my words, this is going to be the – we've had some crazy NBA free agencies. This is going to be the craziest summer ever because of the salary boost.
Well, there's also this nuance of, opting in and opting out. And
well, that's right.
2 years,
and a lot of guys are free agents.
It's more complicated than just you're a free agent, you're going to sign a 5-6 year deal, or you're not going to sign. You know what I mean? So there's going to be so many different outcomes that can shape free agency.
It's going to be fascinating. And I think between that and the lackluster NBA draft night and just around the whole going into the summer, there will be a lot of trades as well. It's going to be the wild, wild west. So stay tuned, Ray and Tay. But it's time for our top five point guards to finish our top fives, and we'll put it up on our Facebook page so you get all of our top fives right now in the NBA, the top five point guards. Ray, with 30 points a game, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and back-to-back MVPs, Stephen Curry has got to be our number one point guard in the league.
He's got
also led the
league
in steals. Yeah.
It's one thing to say, you it's not crazy to say you'd take somebody else like a Russell Westbrook, but at this point you can't do more than be the best player in the league 2 years in a row, win an MVP, shoot 50% from the field, 40% from three, 90% from the line. He's
45.
Awesome. 45 from three, even better.
Yeah, I mean, that's look, it's incredible. And I think that for both of us, there's not much debate with one and two. Russell Westbrook is the second best point guard, maybe the fourth best player. 23 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists a game. This guy is doing yeoman's work, and I feel like he could still get better. That's what's scary to me about Russell. In a sense that, could he be higher than the second best point guard and the fourth best player? Yeah, he might be able to still increase that. So stay tuned with him. The debate at three, it would be no question in some people's minds, say, hey, of course it's Chris Paul. He had a great season without Blake, 19 points, 4 rebounds, 10 assists. But there's a gentleman in Portland that is your guy and originally my guy, who I called for Rookie of the Year years ago, 25 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists. Who do you think is the third best? And you could throw Kyrie in the conversation as well. Who do you think is the third best point guard in the NBA right now, Ray?
baby Dame, baby Dame. oh, I love Dame Lillard. I will have to, for one more season, give it to Chris Paul. At this time next year, he's dropping below Kyrie Irving
and
Lillard. Dame Lillard.
Yeah. But right
but
now,
right now, I'll
he
give
had a
it
great
to him.
Season. Very
and
good
quietly
season.
Too. I mean, can
yeah.
Chris Paul be underrated? Is that possible? The number 4 pick in the draft, you know, coming out of Wake Forest.
And you know what? He'll be rated. He'll be underrated on the all-time point guard list, without a doubt.
Well,
he's going to be
that's
underrated.
Probably his fault because
it
he
is.
Hasn't won anything.
It is. But
so that's you know, it's hard to rate
so
somebody one of the best ever when they haven't even gotten to it. To a conference finals, let alone an NBA finals.
Like be nice. Don't say it like it's not just.
No,
Bonzi.
But that's my guy. That's my guy. She's
I know.
Guy.
I know. I know. So we got him at 3. Now the battle from 4, Lillard and Kyrie. I think it's close. Kyrie did 19-3 and 5. You know, not as impressive as Lillard, but it's a different roster. Lillard shot more. The whole 9. How do you sort of measure them? Because obviously Kyrie's had more success winning now that he's healthy, but a better team, and Lillard's got more on his shoulders with 6 more points a game.
You know what? At their best, Kyrie Irving's probably better because he's more explosive and he can impact the game. But he gets hurt more, Kyrie Irving, and Dame Lillard had the whole state of Oregon on his back. Everybody predicted them to be terrible. So I got to give it
to
Baby Dame.
He lost 4 starters. He lost the other 4 dudes he was on the court with last year, and he still made it to the 5th seed and to the 2nd round of the Western Conference playoffs.
That's why I
got to
give it.
But still,
Baby Dame,
right.
Baby Dame, dropping dimes.
He dropped them dimes. He dropped them dimes. We love that commercial. So Lillard is 4. Now, look. You could just say, hey, it's easy. Kyrie's 5. But we got to throw a couple gentlemen out there, mainly an all-star still playing in the playoffs, and Kyle Lowry, 21, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, nothing to sleep on. And our boy, Kentucky's finest from the Wizards, who, like you said, I forgot about him because he hasn't been playing. But on the humble, he had Chris Paul stats, 19, 4 rebounds, 10 assists. So what's the difference? The exact same stats basically as Chris Paul, but we don't have him at 3. Is John Wall getting disrespected, or is it the lack of winning and not really hitting his potential?
Both. I think if you look at these guys, John Wall, because of his defensive prowess, maybe is the poor man's Russell Westbrook.
Yeah,
in the sense that he can impact the game on both sides, maybe more than all these other guys. You know, Steph Curry has got quick hands, so he's always amongst the leaders.
Right, but
in,
he's
in
not
a,
locking down anybody.
Right.
And John Wall and him had a great battle this year. You remember that game, Washington Golden State.
So I like John Wall, and I think that if everybody's playing up to their max potential, then John Wall could be better. But you just look at these guys, and you sort of say to yourself, you know what, Kyle Lowry, we've seen his ceiling, and I love me some Kyle Lowry, but he's not able to impact the game at his best the way Kyrie and even John Wall can. So even though statistically he's got the best, most consistent stats of those guys, I still think Kyrie and Wall above Lowry. And then in terms of Kyrie and Wall, because he's not in the playoffs and because he was a little inconsistent this year, I got to give it to Kyrie, then Wall, then Lowry.
Okay, so Kyrie finishes up our top 5. So we'll just say Curry, Westbrook, CP3, Lillard, Kyrie. Wall would be 6th, Lowry 7th, and then the battle for 8th would probably be between Isaiah Thomas and Jeff Teague. I got to tell you, Isaiah Thomas is really, Ray, you look at the stats, 22, 3 rebounds, 6 assists. That's a heck of a season for Isaiah Thomas.
It is, and it's on a team where he's getting no help, right? You're not worried about Jay Crowder, and you're not worried about,
Avery Bradley,
and Jared Sullinger and Kelly Olynyk.
You hope they get another player in Boston to help him. You know.
Well, they got a lot of draft picks coming.
And wait,
so.
And I'll say this. Don't sleep. This is why we did the point guard last. It's the best position in the NBA because we're talking about those guys, right? So that's eight guys right there. If you threw in on top of that, like I said, Jeff Teague, and then you've got Kemba Walker, who had a great season. It was no joke in the playoffs. This league is like a 10, 11, 12 deep at the position.
Even a guy like Tony Parker is a four-time champion, was a Finals MVP.
Right. Parker, Rose, and Rondo, we're not talking about.
Rose was an MVP himself.
Yeah.
Rondo won a championship.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So that would give you, you know, boom, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 point guards. So the position is ridiculous. And, you know, no disrespect to Rose, Rondo, and Parker, but they've definitely dropped down, you know, quite a notch. So real quick, you know, we say goodbye to the NBA. Look for, you know, Ray's got the Warriors and Cavs winning. And I've got OKC and Cavs on the next game and also for the series. NHL, what are you thinking? How is it playing out? 2-2 St. Louis and San Jose. And then tonight is it game five or game six for the East? What's going on?
Tonight is game – well, tonight is in the West, right? It's St. Louis. Yesterday was – game five in the East, and Pittsburgh had a 2-0 lead and blew it. They absolutely blew it. This undermanned Tampa team without Ben Bishop, without Steven Stamkos, who both
so
of them might
heart.
Return.
Yeah,
they really do have so much heart. It's unbelievable. And little Tyler Johnson, he's normal size, right? Just monster. Yeah, exactly. So they're up 3-2, 53 seconds into overtime yesterday, but they're up 3-2.
I still like my Penguin pick, even though I respect the Lightning. I got to stick with them. And
okay.
I'm concerned about St. Louis. They're tied 1-1 and 2-2 in the series. It's 1-1 halfway through the first quarter or 6 minutes left in the first period. What do you think plays out with St. Louis and San Jose?
I like San Jose. I think they win
like
this game.
Okay.
I think they win this game, and I think they win at home at the Shark Tank, and the boom, boom, series over.
Okay, I'm going to stick with St. Louis. Pittsburgh might be done, but I'll stick with St. Louis. You know, Cavs and Toronto are tipping off. Before we end the show and wind it down, man, we got to talk some MLB, Ray. I mean, this is the summer. Memorial Day is coming up. We'll have our show Friday, but it's one of those checkpoints, right, for baseball. Memorial Day, July 4th, All-Star break, September 1st, right? These checkpoints, where are we at? What do we need to do? Do we need to make moves? You know, whatever. You know, so you got Orioles in Boston fighting it out strong. You know, the Yankees are in a not-so-promising third place. Cubs got the best record in baseball. Them and the White
Sox.
But
they've lost 7 of 11, though, the Cubs.
Yeah, well, when you have to face the Giants, who, you know, are going to bring it, but Arrieta showed up, but, you know, everybody else, you know, that's the thing, right? The Cubs, it's sort of like they know, and that's what an ace does for you, right? Like Greinke's starting to do it for the Diamondbacks. Pitch two good outings in a row, looks like he's getting it together. But Arrieta, every fifth game, boom, you know you got your dog. You just need Lester and other pitchers for Chicago to do it right and step up. But you've got the Mariners, the White Sox. Give me a team right now, right? I like to, you know, like we would do this sometimes last year with baseball. Now, oh, you can't believe what the Astros are doing. So disappointing. But give me a team right now, second or third place, that you see a run in them. You see one of those runs that in the dog days of June and July, we'll wake up August 1st and we'll be like, wait a minute, how did they get into first and turn it around? So give me, you know, I mean, maybe give me one in each league.
Yeah, so, you know, I think the AL East is not, I mean, it's gonna basically, I think the Red Sox are going to eventually pull away. The Orioles are hanging tight. But I think the interesting team sits in the Central. And I'm going to say, even though Chicago looks really good, Cleveland is solid, Kansas City, you know who they are, I have a sneaky suspicion that the Detroit Tigers, currently in fourth place and under 500 will be able to put enough offense together. I don't think they can win it all, but I think they might sneak up and
so wild card?
One of those wild cards. Just because the offense is going to keep them going. And if Verlander pitches like he did the second half of last year, and they're able to get a little bit more from Zimmerman, I think they have a shot.
Okay. I'll buy
that's
that
in the American League. In the National League, that's tough because I really think that the divisions are pretty much shaping up like they will be.
it's pretty much written in stone, right?
Yeah, Mets.
Except for that NL West. That NL West, you don't know.
You don't know. Can Colorado put it together? I mean, I think your Diamondbacks are done, but can Colorado put it together? And it wouldn't be crazy to say that at 23-21, seven games behind the Cubs, the St. Louis Cardinals can always make a run. You know, they're always going to win between 85 and 95 games. Last year they won 100 games. So I don't think it's crazy to say that the Cardinals will be there, at least contending in late September, early October.
Yeah, I would agree with them. I think the two teams you're saying to me, without a doubt, I would probably just say KC and St. Louis. Because Kansas City, even though they're, you know, you went one more down to Detroit, I think Kansas City, they just have to sniff around and they know that their greatness, they can turn it on, and they just need better starting pitching. Once they start to get it together and they're healthy again, they're a little banged up, you got to watch out for KC and also St. Louis. You know, but I got to tell you, I think you might have hit it on the head. You were talking about the Rockies. I can't sleep on them. I mean, our boy Nolan is just, he's like the new Paul Goldschmidt, right? Like, he's just like, I'm that guy now. He is the stud in the National
League.
Yeah,
the third base position. Manny Machado in the American League and Nolan Arenado in the National
Arenado
League. Those two
amazing.
Are the leading candidates for MVP.
Yeah, I heard him on an interview the other day. Good SoCal kid. So we'll see what happens. Look, it's going to be fun. You know, we'll see what happens with this All-Star game. The voting is, you know, kicking off and see how everything plays out. I'm excited, man. Real quick. The Browns, after they drafted five receivers, they released Brian Hartline today, who was their leading receiver going into, after last season. Bye-bye, Brian. I tell you, the NFL is something else, right? You know,
it really is. That's why get your money up front and do what you got to do to get paid.
Yeah, definitely. So, look, like always, another good show. We'll have it's going to be fun this week. You know, start focusing on the NBA draft and NBA free agency because it's really right around the corner. The finals will end maybe like the 21st or 22nd, and then the 23rd of June, a little earlier this year, is the NBA draft. So, before you know it, you know, Labor Day's here, and then, you know, June, and we'll get to the finals, and then boom. You know, they should set it up like football, and we always talk about this, right? It should be free agency first, then the draft, not the draft and then free agency.
Right.
NBA should fix that one day, but I don't think they will. So, anyway, it was fun. Good show, and thanks for listening.
Have a great sports week. See you on Friday.
Mm-hmm.